praise the Lord. The Lord bless those that's here tonight, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord, and good to be able to come to the house of the Lord. And I know we're maybe not many tonight, but I want to just try and encourage those that came tonight, and I won't try and be too long this evening. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 12, and maybe we could read, stand for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and I did mention this morning, Brother Laurie's not too well, and I'm trying to find his address. I've sent him messages and different things, so as soon as I find out, I'll keep everyone posted, but keep praying for Brother Laurie, and also keep our sister Eileen Jones in prayer with everything that's happening, and that the Lord will have his way. So there's just a while back, there's a fella asked me for my testimony on tape, but I didn't have it. So when me and Gary did the service in Lisburn CWU, it was recorded. Brother Rangers has made a DVD of it. There's some of them on the table. I know everybody here knows my testimony, but if you think it would help someone and you want to give them the disc, feel free to take one and share the disc. If you think it would help someone with it, praise God. But Brother Ed has just made it on disc form. And, you know, the thing about a testimony is, you know, when you've been preaching for a long time, there's so much to the testimony, there's so many things you can tell, and you only can tell so much, there's that many things over your life. Everybody's a testimony. Yeah. You know, how you get saved, and maybe things the Lord's done for you over all them years, but isn't it great to have a testimony?
Amen.
That you're saved. And we just thank the Lord for that. Let's read verse 12 of Hebrews 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let us just bow our heads again for a word of prayer this evening. Father, we just thank you for your presence, for your mercy, and for your grace. Lord, we need you tonight. We need you every day. You hold the very breath we breathe. But we thank you that we have open access into your presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. We thank you tonight for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we ask that you'll wash us and cleanse us afresh in that precious blood tonight. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Cleanse us and sanctify us. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I'm asking you to fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. And I take the Holy Spirit by faith right now. And I thank you, Lord, that you do undertake for me. Pray that your people will know the sense of your presence in this room tonight. That you'll come near. And that you're moving every one of us afresh. And Lord, we know that your word will not return unto you void. I pray that your word will go forth and go out, and that people's lives and hearts will be touched, and men and women challenged. And I ask for those that are brothers prayed at home, or maybe even in this room, that needs your touch. Lord, that you'll heal them and deliver them in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless our sister Eileen Jones tonight, and for the whole situation, we bring it all before you. And we ask that the hand of the Lord will be made bare. Pray again for Brother Laurie, that from the crown of his head to the very soles of his feet, that he'll know your presence and your power and your healing in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, bless us this evening in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want tonight again to look at what I've been talking about for the last couple of services, and knowing the power of God. And tonight I want to talk about divine PowerPoints. And one of the first PowerPoints I want to look at tonight is the Word of God. And the Word of God is a PowerPoint. And I'm going to tell you, without the Word of God, you have no PowerPoint at all. You have to have the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Now I want to read you this again. For the Word of God is living, active, and full of power. That's what quickened means. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. That word quick and powerful means active and living and full of power. So God's Word's living, it's active, and it's full of power. So much power that it can transform a person and save a man that's dead in sin and quicken him and make him alive. That's what the Word of God says. It's so powerful it can heal a person. For the Lord sent His Word and healed them and delivered them by the Word of God. And many a time, I'm sure all of us could testify in our own testimony, our own life's experience, and of times God has maybe quickened the Word to you. That's done something for you. Maybe you could have been really low or really down, but just one word quickened to you.
Amen.
Done something for you, and it changed everything. And your outcome changed. You come in almost ready to throw the towel in, and one word from the Lord changed it. That's because God's Word is quick and powerful, energizing and effective. Just like I often say, the Spirit that now energizes or working the children of disobedience, but the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, energizes in the believer. The Word of God energizes in the believer. And the Word of God is effective in the believer. For God's Word is life. Amen. Jesus says, my words are spirit and life. Praise God. Also, in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man. So God's word is not as the word of a man. When the television goes on and people give their opinion on this and that, that is a man's opinion. Then after a few months you find out that it's not right. That what they're saying is not the way it is actually at all. But God's Word's not like that.
Amen.
Brother Branham says God's Word spoken the first time was perfect. That's why God never changes His mind about His Word. It was perfect the first time. God does not change His Word. But God's Word remains the same. It's powerful.
Amen.
So this is our PowerPoint. A PowerPoint for the believers, the Word of God. That's why it's essential to read the Word of God.
Right.
To meditate upon the Word of God.
Right.
To think upon the Word of God. As a buckler, as a shield that shall be on us daily, thinking upon man. Let me read you like this as well. And we also especially thank God continually for this, that when you received the message of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of mere man, but as it truly is the word of God, which is effectual, at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in it and rely on it. Superhuman power, because God's just not a person. God is a supernatural being with supernatural ability and supernatural power. God that said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the God we're talking about. We need to be continually reminded of God.
Amen.
We need to be continually reminded. How superior, and as I have been saying lately, He's not just God, He is Almighty God.
Amen.
Almighty. Almighty God. And it's this word that keeps us. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God has not made His ability available through His word. Every one of us have an availability to the word of God by faith. Every one of us. You have an availability to the power of God through the Word of God by through. Your faith in the Word of God can do anything.
Amen.
That's what God says.
Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God.
Your faith can be increased. It's like a muscle that you train.
If you train a muscle, that muscle will develop and become stronger.
You can lift more with it. It's surprising
what a muscle can develop out to do. It's like a young fella doing press-ups.
Now, there was a challenge on during the lockdown, and there was a relation of her own was on there, and he said, how many press-ups was it in? 10?
It was about 20. No, 50. Oh, damn, it wasn't 50. This boy wasn't doing
50. I know there's people that's 50. It wasn't him doing it.
This was another fella. But you were tagged, and you had to do, I'm saying you, Brother Kerry, what I mean. If you ever was tagged in this, you had to do 10 press-ups a night. So many days.
I don't know many days. Then at the end of it, you tagged somebody else. And I went on.
And he couldn't do the 10 press-ups. They weren't able to do the 10 press-ups. Now, 10 press-ups is not a lot. I'm a right fat, happy fella. I'm not telling you, man, I can still do.
You'd be surprised. But it's a lot more than 10. But this buddy wasn't fit to do 10. That's shot,
because they're light. This fella was very light. I thought he'd do 100, but he couldn't do hardly 10. But there's one thing about it. I
want you to notice this now. After the days went, and it went into over a week, he was doing the 10.
He could better on it. Even though he couldn't do the 10, he was fit to do the 10 after a bit easy enough.
Because the muscles started to respond and tell it.
And that's like the faith.
Amen.
Now it's a natural type of spiritual, everybody knows that.
And as you exercise the muscle, right. As you exercise the muscle,
that's the same thing with the faith muscle.
Yeah.
That it can begin to work.
And you know, it's surprising the many press-ups you could do. There's a wee fella in the job I was on a couple of weeks ago.
He does 300 press-ups every night. 300. Now, when he took his shirt off, he's like a hernbone. Do you know what I mean? He's just muscle and bone. There was no weight on. He's fit. He's as fit as anything.
They used to talk about being fit as a butcher's dog.
How many's ever heard of that? That boy's as fit as a butcher's dog. That's the real old saying.
But he was fit. He did 300 a night. But an ordinary fella couldn't just go and do 300 a night.
He wouldn't be fit to do it. But I believe anybody that could practice could eventually do it.
Maybe not at once. But it's like the faith muscle. As you train the muscle. So the Word of God is a divine connection. So then faith cometh by hearing the Word of God.
When we think of the things we hear, if you count the hours that you hear, you know, one old believer told me in America in 1991,
because I was always listening to the Bible. And I listened to the Bible that much.
Some people give up to me. And they said to me, you're always listening to the Bible. You need to listen to this and that. And this one old preacher fellow says to me, he says, oh no, he says, you see, do you know even if you went to bed and put a pair of earphones on and fell asleep listening to the Bible,
it'll have an effect on you. Even if you're sleeping.
Just like the television has an effect. Or anything you're watching or listening has an effect on you.
And if you want encouragement to do something in any sport,
say you want to ride a bike, if you watch the fella training and how he went about it, look, every night you'll want to keep doing it yourself. Isn't that true? It'll encourage you to do it. So when you hear the Word of God, it works on you.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's one thing different about the Word of God and all them other things. One thing different. I want you to get this.
None of them things will clean you. But the Word of God washes you.
Amen.
The Word of God actually washes you. As you hear the Word of God, it cleans you. It washes you. It purifies you. It's different than everything else. There's power in it.
Here's another divine connection. The name of Jesus.
Amen.
The name of Jesus. There's no name like the name of Jesus. All the majesty of Christ's person. All the victory of His Calvary conquest. And all the authority of His exalted position at the right hand of God is resident name of Jesus Christ. God's power is in the name of Jesus Christ, and it can be released by faith, as the early Christians discovered that, and they knew that. And Acts 3:16, and our brother Gary often sings this beautiful song, you know, about the lame man. Acts 3:16, and his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong.
Amen.
Whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of us, made him strong. Not just healed him, but he's strong. God has healed him and he's made him strong.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord can give you strength. Isn't that wonderful? That God can give you strength. You know, I was thinking the other day about the strength of Samson. Samson's strength was beyond normal. Samson's strength was beyond human. There was something supernatural about the strength Samson had. The power of God came on him. And he did exploits for God. And just as the Old Testament is, so is today, by the Holy Spirit coming on the true church and believers should be fit to do exploits for God. Never be afraid, no matter where you are, who you're with, if there's a need to pray for it in that name. That's above every name. Because as soon as you bring that name over the person into the situation, you have come in contact with the divine PowerPoint. That's a divine PowerPoint that you've come in contact with. And you as a believer have a right to that name. You have a right to that name. And the Bible says, whatsoever you bind in heaven shall be bound on earth. Whatsoever you loose, you know.
Amen.
In that name. Keys of the kingdom. Praise God. In Acts 4 verse 10, but be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand before you whole. Now when the disciples did this wonderful miracle was accomplished, you know, they never took them aside and patted them on the back and said, this is great. They jailed them. They ridiculed them and they jailed them. They didn't want them to preach no more in that name. I thought it was absolutely striking what a brother Mark said this morning. I hope we're all awakened. People don't want anybody to kill a fox. Not allowed to hunt and kill a fox. But you can kill the unborn baby.
Right.
Now brethren, seriously, rid the country of foxes is what I said. They're only a bunch of dirt. Vermin. Not only should there be law lifted in foxes, see the badgers, it should be lifted in them as well. If I was in charge, I'd lift it in the morning. A bunch of dirt. They carry TB, and that's a known fact. And people talk, oh, I don't know if they really carry or not. You ask the farmer, and he's telling you whether they carry or not. They're a bunch of dirt. And the country's coming down, and they need to lift the ban. You can hunt them for the next 20 years, and you still have plenty. But people in government want to kill the unborn baby.
That's right.
Kill the unborn baby. When you really think what's in our country, I'm telling you, brothers, it's a joke. People need to pray them out. I'm telling you, pray them out. The Bible says pray for those in authority, but if the right person's not in authority, pray them out of it. I'm telling you, it's a disgrace, isn't it? Isn't it true? It is true. I'm not talking about cruelty, but I'll tell you something. You heard our brother Mark said this morning about that woman. When she traced back and she found all them babies in a grave. And that's the so-called church. And that's the people that say, we go by the church's doctrine. Well, I'm sorry, I do not go by any church's doctrine. The Bible's what I go by.
Amen.
The Word of God. Jesus Christ is the head of the true church. Amen. So you have the Word of God and you have the name. John 16 verse 23 says this in verse 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked me nothing in my name. Ask ye and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. How's he going to fulfill your joy? Because he'll give you the name and you can ask in it. Amen. There's another thing, the divine PowerPoint. The cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is the divine PowerPoint. Not only is the cross of Christ the divine PowerPoint, Paul says the preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. That's a divine PowerPoint. When you heard the cross preached, it done something for you. It affected you. God's master PowerPoint is Calvary. Millions of lives has been utterly transformed when they come in genuine repentance and simple childlike faith to the feet of the crucified Savior. There is power that cleanses and forgives sin at the cross through the Savior. So many people have been delivered at Calvary. So many people have been set free. God imparts new life and new purpose to men and women at the cross. Those condemned are made righteous. The fallen are lifted. Those afar off are brought near to God at the cross of Christ. Rebels, drunkards, all types of sinners are transformed into God's children and contributing members of society, all because of the cross.
Amen.
That's why the cross has to be preached. We must always preach the cross. You know, if you go somewhere and you're going to evangelize and you don't preach the cross, you're wasting your time. And that's why, you know, when churches can become big, there's good opportunity as well in big churches to preach the gospel, because there's unsaved always there. Isn't that right? Now, I know it's hard to get people to church in these days. That's all the devil, you know. That's the devil's plan. That's his plan. And then he wants to hoodwink Christians as well. Stay at home. Stay at home. What for? I'll tell you, the Lord's coming. And he wants us to be about his work and his business. Then you have an R PowerPoint, that's the Holy Spirit. And there's an ability with the Holy Spirit. And there's a man that's filled with the Holy Spirit. If someone about him different than a man that's not filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an anointing on that man or woman. There's the power of God upon them. That's why it's so important that we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And I'll send you the promise of the Father,
Amen.
Which is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come. And the Bible calls it the promise of the Father.
Amen.
You know, when Peter stood up in Acts, he said these scriptures must needs be fulfilled. And he quoted the book of Joel. That shall come to pass in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Acts 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Power with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's like an engine, you take the turbo off, but you didn't run as well. You know, there was engines years ago, real good engines. You know, I had the old 300D Mercedes engine. It was a fantastic engine. There's no question about that. Great engine. Now, as good as that 300D was, and I loved, you know, that first time Mercedes I had, and I'd love another one of them. Brilliant car. It's like sitting at the sofa. Never drive anything that's nice. And you sit back and away she goes. But there's 2 liters, 1600s, is more power than that today. Because the turbos and different things fit into them. Now that old engine, when people started modifying it, it went from about 100 whatever horsepower it was to about 300. And you see, that's the thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you power.
Amen.
Power. Amen. I love watching things where they fix cars and restore cars. And you know, some boys that fix cars and restore cars, and they buy like a sports car, an older car, and they want to restore it and bring it back up to what it used to be. And they set her on the rolling wheels. Do you ever see that? You know, they put her on them wheels to test what horsepower she has. And this one fella, they got this. She was a big American car. She was a Mustang. Ford Mustang, is that right? You know, with them things, I don't know what horsepower she had, but your fella said, There's a few horses that escaped. And he said, we needed to get a lasso and catch them and bring them back again. But he doctored her.
Amen.
He worked on her. And you know one of the things he done that engine? Now, I'm not a mechanic. Some of you fellas know a lot more about this than me. But from the old distributor, he changed it to the more nearer type electronic ignition. And that helped her a bit. And then he done all these other things to her. She had a better spark. And I tell you, we need the spark of God.
Glory.
Amen.
Right.
The fire of God.
Yes,
the spark of God.
Amen.
You know, we Sidney Murray, and I often mention Sidney Murray. Sidney Murray preached well when he was with a brother. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight, when he got the Holy Ghost, he preached better with the Pentecost. Because he had something more to his message.
Yes, all right.
He added to the message.
Yes.
The first part he had was right. It's still right. He preached salvation, but when he got the Holy Spirit, there was healing on him, and the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll tell you another man, there's a man on television now, and he's the son of this man. Now the son's not the man as dad was. Osteen,
there's a fellow Osteen, now I don't think a whole lot of the Osteen. Now the preachers, but his father, my dad used to have the book of him, John Osteen.
And John Osteen was like a Baptist, but he one day, God began to deal with him in the book of Acts and showed him that he needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it transformed him to a different man. That's what the Holy Ghost does. And I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit. Listen to this here. I want to tell you this here. The early believers assembled themselves in the upper room, and in preparation for the endurement, they anticipated and were not disappointed. May the Lord help us today not to be negative, but to anticipate a moving of the Spirit of God like the original church at Pentecost. We need to anticipate God to move on us. People say, you know, I know some people, and they say God's not moving, so we'll sit at home. Now I'll tell you, you see a fella that was trained for a contest. You have a fella trained for any contest where it's a sport or anything, and he decides, well, there's not many get down there to the gym tonight, or wherever, whatever they're doing, I'll sit at home. He's never going to win it.
That's right.
But you see the fella that goes rain, hail, and snow, he's the winner. I'm going to tell you this saying, I've had it for years, and I wasn't the first one who had it. There was another man in this country preached a sermon on it. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. And I tell you, God wants us to go forward. Now, the first thing the church was established on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the inauguration sermon. On the service, when the church was born, the Christian church was born in the day of Pentecost. And if God is infinite, infinite and cannot change, His church must remain as it was at the beginning. Do you admit that? The church must remain ever the same as it was Pentecostal. Is not a shock? Is it a shock for you that the Lord's coming for a Pentecostal church? Well, I'm going to tell you even one further, but it's not, they're not going. I don't mean by a name on a building. I'm talking about the experience, like the Bible. He's coming for the people that's sealed. And if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are Pentecostal. And you mightn't have any name up on the building or anything to do with it, but if you're the seal of God, that's Pentecostal. Many believes that tonight. How many believes he's coming for Pentecostals? Amen. Those that see, he says, the head that need oil in the lamp. That's what Jesus preached himself, but them virgins. The book of Acts is a testimony of how the power of God was evidence in their lives. They prayed effectually, witnessed boldly, lived differently, and brought a release of the purpose and the power of God into others' lives. That's what they did. When they went out, it affected people. When they come in contact with a lamb, they prayed and raised them up. Blind eyes were open, even the dead was raised. That was a Pentecostal church. That's what the Pentecostal church needs. no restrictions. Amen. The Holy Spirit's not restrictive. We have a divine PowerPoint. The Holy Spirit. The former treaties of my made of Theophilus, all that Jesus both began to do and teach. Acts 1 verse 1. He began it, we're to continue. Here's another divine PowerPoint relationship with the Lord Jesus. You said, Tom, that's so simple, but it's so true.
We have to have a relationship with the Lord. Just like a man and woman has a relationship.
You know, if you're married to a man or woman, obviously,
there's only one type of marriage. Let me get that out there. Now, there's only one type of marriage. That's with a man and a woman. God never made Adam and Steve.
He made Adam and Eve. Amen. And a man and a woman has a relationship. They communicate with each other. They talk with each other. They're best friends. Best buddies. And the Lord wants us to be in a relationship with Him. And talk to them. Sit down, as it were, and tell them your troubles and everything that's going on. Many times people don't do that, but we should do it.
You know the old saying, when you get married, a lot of people tell you, never let the sun go down on your wrath in the evening. Put it right before you go to bed.
And that's the same with the Lord. We need to talk to the Lord every day. We need to not have a day. I see a couple smiling there.
We need to have to talk to the Lord every single day. Amen. It's not true.
Talk to the Lord. You know, in the morning, we need to talk to the Lord.
I have a habit. You can call it a habit you want. But I don't care where I'm working or where I'm going, whether I'm at home and I'm taking the children to school or whether I'm going to do a job.
I never leave the house till I pray in that vine.
Whatever I get in till in the morning, I don't leave that praying. And even if I'm late, and sometimes when I'm late, someone says to me, you're late, you haven't got time to pray. See, when I get a morning like that, I'll take 10 minutes extra. Amen. Because that's the devil. When someone says to you, you're too late, don't pray, you know that's the devil. Anything that tells you not to pray is the devil.
Because the Bible says, pray always. Amen. Pray without ceasing. The affection, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's a real good thing
when you get in the car and the children's with you as well, we're going to school, pray over them.
Amen. Pray before you leave. Going to a job, pray the Lord to keep you safe.
These fellas that do work on machines and all,
you need to pray all the time. I used to pray, you know, when I was working on the joint and work on that,
I used to pray God would touch my hands. That I was able to do things. I never learned it in college and all them things.
It was a hands-on. But God can give you, make you to do anything. God can show you things, you know.
But nobody else can show you. God can even show you how to do a job. I really believe that. He's done it with me before.
And He can show you how to do it. And somebody will come up and say, how do you do that like that?
And they're going to know how to do it.
I had a fellow the other day, he was putting on PVC and he was putting nails in.
And I said, I'll put that last couple in for you. And he started to tell me how to put a couple of nails in. Now, I didn't start to tell him, but see that what he is doing? I worked at that every day for 3 years with a fellow murder. I'd probably put more PVC on than he's ever seen PVC.
But I wasn't going to tell him. But there's one thing,
what he's right. You see the wee nails you get in the PVC. If you come on them too hard, you'll dinge, you will mark the PVC on the head of the wee nail.
Just a wee bit of plastic on it. But God can show you to do anything.
Amen.
You need to pray that God leads you and guides you in everything. Relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this here, when I wrote this down. When there's a 3-pin plug of faith connected with divinely provided PowerPoints and the switch of vital union with Jesus Christ is in place and maintained, then an ongoing release of the life and power of God will be experienced. Abiding union and fellowship of Christ is contact, which alone enables us to the channels of love, life, power, and the flow of God to the needy world.
Amen.
But we have to be tuned in, connected in. People say, I don't want the negative. Well, you have no light sign. You need it. And sometimes someone negative.
Right.
You might think someone negative never do you any good, but it could.
That's right.
I could tell you testimonies where things that I thought done me harm actually ended up doing me good. Because I made a mistake, God.
Now, it might have been for everyone, and it probably wouldn't have been, but it done me good, not at the time. At the time, you wouldn't see it, but eventually it does. Because it turns you to God. Where else are you going to turn to?
Amen.
If someone drives you to seeking God, it's good for you.
Amen. Even if you don't like it at the time, it'll do you good eventually. Abiding union, praise God. You see, the real spirit-filled believer receives the life of God. And the Greek word is the Zoe. Zoe is God's own life in you.
Amen.
The life of God in you. The quickening power. Praise God. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Even, you know, how many believes that tonight? Now, I'm going to come to close. It's 10 till and I'm closing. I'm just going to close. Let's hear and close. I told you that I wouldn't want to keep this long. That's one thing about preaching. You could preach and the next thing, 30 or 40 minutes is gone. You don't know it.
Everybody else knows it, but the mom is doing it.
It's bad. It's bad if people start praying, Lord, get him to stop.
I hope they pray, Lord, keep him going. You better stop in the service where people's praying, Lord, keep them going. You ever sit in the service and pray, Lord, I wish you'd quit? I have.
Time to quit. And then I've sat in service and I've said, Lord, go all night.
Amen. Sometimes when we're leaving the meeting, we're ready to start one. That's the truth. That's the Spirit of God. Now that happens, it's great.
But you can't make it yourself. It has to be the Spirit of God. Let's stand our feet this evening, praise God. Let's just close our eyes. I'm going to pray, and then our brother Gary's going to come, and we're going to sing a few songs. And if anyone just needs prayer tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord as we close this evening. And you know the need, whatever it is. God can answer it. God can meet it. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Believe God tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God is able to do anything. Almighty God. His Word. His Spirit. And look at the things God's given us that we can, and that name. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that your name is far above every other name. Lord, I ask you for the hands that's raised tonight in the service. Father, you know the needs. You know the prayers, the heart's desire. Lord, you said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul doth prosper. Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bless the hands that's raised, meet every need, prosper where there needs to be prosperity. Meet the need, save and deliver and heal. In Jesus' precious name. We ask all for those that couldn't be with us this evening to bless them and strengthen them. And we pray that you'll move in every one of our lives and every one of our homes. As we commit our families all to thee. And ask you'll save every one of them. Under the great token we heard about your blood this morning. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Cover us with your blood. Bless her goings out. Bless her comings in. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As soon as I find out for the midweek, it's Thursday. People have been praying. They've been telling me we get a change to Wednesday. So I'm trying. I have to wait and see what the brother comes back to us. But hopefully we'll know soon. But until then, it's Thursday nights, and the Lord bless each and every one.
Amen. I was just sitting there. Were you ever in a meeting where you're praying for somebody to get stopped? I remember one time years ago, I went to a meeting. Oh, it was over the border. I'll say where it was, but it was near Donegal or somewhere in that direction. But they had waiting pews. And it was a 3-hour sit, and that's all I can remember. I had a sore backside, and that's the only thing I can remember about that meeting. So that was one of them times when you were glad to get out. And you know, I can remember another meeting. It was one of the times Brian Freeborn came, and you know, we recorded that meeting, was recorded, and I used to listen to the tape all the time. And it started off Clyde and Digger. I used to listen to the tape nearly every day. I think I lent it to you, Brother Ian. Brother Brian was preaching on the Holy Ghost. And you know, that meeting, I think we went back to John's that night for tea. You maybe remember, we were in Tully Leash, Tullamore schoolhouse. But that meeting lasted for 3 hours. And you know, you wouldn't have seen the time go in. I really enjoyed that meeting. I was only probably about Clyde's age or something like that. I wasn't very old at the time. But you know, I can remember it, and I was excited. I was really excited about the preaching and the fellowship afterwards. You know, I can remember that. All I can remember is what the one was, I was glad to get up and get out and get home. So it's definitely true what the pastor says. Can we try, Olive? I don't know if you have that hymn, How Lovely Are the Mountains on the Feet of Him, Our God Reigns. If Matthew, have we got the words there? John pointed out there might have been a correction to be made. Matthew, have you got, can you put up Isaiah 52? Just a few verses, and we'll see what it says. And then Alva has the words here anyway, so we can correct if there's any word needs changing. Our God reigns. So, how lovely are the mountains? Or it says, how lovely are the mountains, are the feet of him. But if you put it up, Matthew, if you can give us the scripture, it should be on the feet of him, isn't that right, Alva? How lovely are the mountains on the feet of him. Matthew, if you can put the scripture up in Isaiah.
Sorry, guys. How
lovely on the mountains are the feet. So it's how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him. And Matthew, if you can just put the scripture up in Isaiah 52, and we'll read it from God's word. Now, it might be just slightly different just for the sake of the rhyme, but it's up very similar. Not sure if you can see it, Matthew, can you? Anyway, you can read it yourself. It's in Isaiah 52, and we'll go ahead. So, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him. Okay.